Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everyone to the Cross in the Desert this morning, speaking hope and freedom to Iran, to a very special tribute to the life of Rahane Jabari, who was executed exactly 3 years ago today in Tehran for defending herself against a government rapist. The death of Rahane Jabari has lit an unquenchable flame all over the world as she stands as a symbol and a voice for oppressed women who are violated in the most egregious way by government officials. This flame cannot be put out. Rahane stands as a symbol of hope for Iranian women who languish day and night in prison cells without any lawyers, with no hope and filled with despair. Her life is an example of courage, of fearlessness in the face of oppression. I'm holding in my hands the book that the Lord honored me to write about Rahane's life more than a year and a half ago. And it's entitled Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. This is an important name, Rahane. Flower, fragrance, scent of basil. This is who Rahane was in a dirty, infested prison. She became a voice for women who were raped, women political prisoners who had no hope. In her last days, she began a journal of prison letters to sound the alarm to the Iranian regime and to everyone who'd listen. And this is what Rahane wrote in prison letter number one, I want you to hear her voice loud and clear once again. I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old. With a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of, I write that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. Rahane Jabari, prison letter number one. In her final words to her mother, Sholeh Pak, Rahane says, in the court of the Creator, I will charge Dr. Surbandi. I will charge Qasem Shabandi and all those that out of ignorance or with their lies wronged me and trampled on my rights and didn't pay heed to the fact that sometimes what appears as reality is different from it. Dear soft-hearted Sholeh, in the other world it is you and me who are the accusers and others who are the accused. Let's see what God wants. I want to embrace you until I die. I love you. How did this incredible book come into reality? I want to take just a couple of minutes to read to you from page 9 of Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It's entitled The Author's Journey of Pain. Wednesday, September 13th, 2 a.m. I had just arrived home from working at the hospital when I received a text from Sholeh asking me to meet her and her daughter Shahzad on Skype. Even though I was exhausted from a hard night, I quickly responded to their text and immediately turned on my desktop computer. Sholeh apologized for having called so late and asked me if I would like to join them this afternoon, which would be 12 noon Tehran time. They were going to visit Rahane's grave and wanted me to accompany them to the ceremony. Words cannot adequately explain or express the emotion I felt at that moment. I told them that I would be honored to join them at her grave. Sholeh and Shahzad left their home and took their car to the graveside. They told me it would be about 2 hours, and when they arrived, they would open up Skype on their cell phone and video call me. I leaned back in my chair and began to visualize what it would be like to join them in a video ceremony on Skype at Rahane's grave. At that exact moment, tears began to flood my eyes. For the first time since I agreed to be Rahane's voice for Sholeh and write this book, by an incredible feeling of I could feel their pain in a most profound way. It was then that I realized that my sudden feelings of pain were so necessary to begin the journey of writing this book. Incredible night, I connected with Sholeh and Shahzad in a very mysterious and providential way. The Lord was taking me by the hand and transporting me to Behashat Zahra Cemetery in Tehran to weep with them, to feel their despair, and to experience the intense pain they were both feeling since Rahane's execution. Unfortunately, hours later, at 4 a.m., we were unable to connect via Skype because of the extremely low internet speed in Tehran, which is conveniently filtered and monitored by the dictatorship government. I was truly disappointed. I had prepared myself for an incredible experience, but Sholeh and Shahzad, they didn't let me down. A few hours later, after I woke up, Sholeh had sent me several beautiful pictures from Mahane's graveside. Scholey explained that they had both knelt at Rahane's grave and told her all about me and the book that I was writing, and then laid some red roses next to her tombstone in my honor. As I gazed at the pictures with my sleepy eyes, I was both humbled and honored. Tears filled my eyes. I looked up and said a short prayer for Rahane. Later, with the help of my dear Iranian friend Paymane, I discovered what the inscription on Rahane's gravestone had said, since it had been written in Farsi, in beautifully inscribed black written letters, a very special sentence, like a strong voice, echoed out to visitors at Rahane's grave. Quote, "A world full of hope is sleeping here." Immediately, I realized that the evil Iranian regime had not been successful in destroying the hopes and dreams of Rahane. She was now resting safely in the arms of the God of all hope. Gazing closely at the picture of Rahane's grave, I was reminded of one of the most powerful statements ever uttered from the lips of Jesus. Quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he shall he live." The words of Jesus in the midst of pain and sorrow are words of life, words of comfort, and words of assurance that true hope will never be lost. Jesus is a living Savior who has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and offers us his love and forgiveness. The journey of pain to Rahane's graveside that early morning was a necessary journey for me to write this book. I had to connect with their suffering in order to bring beauty out of their darkness and despair. I truly have answered Rahane's plea in her prison letters when she wrote, "Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. I have felt your pain, dear Rahane. I promise to be your voice for hope and justice." I want you to hear this short tribute from two dear friends, Maral and Samar. Maral no longer lives in Iran. She is safe in Germany right now. But this is what she writes in tribute to Rahane. "Dear Rahane, you are alive in the hearts of all women in Iran. You are a symbol of perseverance, the shout of injured women. You are a flower blossoming in the soil that will never surrender. There are thousands like you held captive in this land of animals. I wish I could have rescued you. I wish I could have taken your mom's hand and kissed her tears. But now you are safe at home with God, the place of Rahane's, the place of Neda's, the place of angels." In the Persian language, names have specific meanings that relate to life. The name Rahane means flower fragrance. Ironically, my name in the English language, Randy, means defender. I don't believe that it's a coincidence, this book for Rahane. I was not merely writing out of sympathy. It is much, much bigger than that. I believe I have the God-ordained task to live up to the meaning of my name. I want to be a defender of Rahane's honor as a woman. Rahane was the helpless victim of one man's uncontrollable sexual advances, and she did what any honorable woman would do by defending herself. In Iran, the unfortunate reality is that women are the property of men. In a society that elevates the status of a man because of Sharia law, according to the Quran, quote, "men are superior to women, and the testimony of a woman is only worth half that of a man." Chapter 2, 282, Surah chapter 4, verse 34. Rahane grew up in this kind of culture, and because she defended her honor against a former intelligence agent, her fate was sealed. The Iranian regime would do everything in its power to protect the reputation of a government man, which meant that Rahane had no hope of surviving, but instead would be sacrificed on the altar of convenience so that the Sarbandi name would not be tainted. Right before her execution, the regime brought in cameramen and reporters to pressure Rahane into changing her story. Just say he did not try to rape me. In the midst of great pressure to preserve her life, Rahane refused to lie and compromise the truth, but instead she stood strong and tall as a majestic mountain and looked in the face of her accusers and responded, "I will not lie." The reason I chose the name, A Beautiful Fragrance, as the subtitle of this book is because Rahane exemplified and lived up to the meaning behind her name. She was a beautiful fragrance of honor, kindness, mercy, and courage. She forgave her interrogator shortly before her execution and showed kindness and compassion to the many women political prisoners who came from destitute and filthy walks of life. This book is about a remarkable, extraordinary, and inspiring woman who suffered greatly at the hands of an evil dictatorship and illuminated a dirty prison with the beautiful fragrances of her wonderful character. It is my honor and pleasure to defend Rahane and tell her incredible story to the world. This evening, Sholeh Pakravan, Rahane's mother, and her sister Shahzad are resting peacefully and safely in a host country, Berlin, Germany. God has worked in incredible ways, through many legal ways, through many hoops, through many, many impediments, to bring her mother and sister safely to Berlin, Germany. And this program is dedicated to their survival, to their heart. And something very special today on the tribute program, Rahane's mother, Sholeh, has written a very powerful tribute to her daughter today. And I want to read this to you, word for word, from the heart of Sholeh Pakravan. Over 1,000 days ago, when Rahane's cruel execution had passed, I have repeated to myself many times every day, why has justice been denied to my daughter? Why did all the organizations and officials of the Iranian government support rapist Sarbandi? Why had Rahane done that the government and its mercenaries revealed such a big level of hostility towards her and executed her while her case was not even in the section for execution? There are various answers to this question. One answer is that a young girl resisted against the pressure of a government that intends to clean, that is, purify the stain of rape from its intelligence agent, and in no way she accepted to ignore her right. They hanged a man in front of the eyes of a girl who has not yet reached the age of 27, hoping that somehow she would become scared, seeing this horrific scene of a human being's agony dying. And somehow she would let Sarbandi get rid of the stain of raping. But she has passed through the gate of fear and has left fear behind when she was under the interrogator's and investigative's torture. She stood under the light, the illuminating bright light of a projector, and in front of the cameras of the government's liar TV, but she never fulfilled their will. She had been under the mental and emotional pressure of several famous Hessian psychologists, yet she did not agree to write the letter that they had asked for. Resistance, standing, and endurance against forces is the feature that is admired in almost every culture. This is why humanity, as great as a word as it is, from the common people to politicians, artists, athletes from different countries of five continents, and even the Pope, the leader of the world, Catholic religion defended Rouhani. A few days after her cruel execution, the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva forced the government to respond. But a big part of the statement by the representative of the government was to defend this cruel execution. After that, Larijani, as the representative of human rights, claimed that judicial authorities could not get the family's forgiveness and the government was forced to execute her. Well, public opinion knows that the government had only two options. Either not to execute Rouhani. In that case, Iranians would find out that they would be able to stand against the desecration that this regime imposes on people every day. This option would be very dangerous for this corrupt regime, because all over Iran, there are Hessian agents who have eyes on people's properties, life, and honor, and many of these Hessians are ready to do any vulgarity. Or they could have executed her and scared people with the price of everlasting stain, of killing an innocent, using this slogan, victory with horror, to make Iranian people, especially women, that have no rights to resist, even a little, against the raping of the regime's agents, because they are the captives of this regime. And in that case, they resist against rape, they will be imprisoned under harsh and breathtaking torture, and finally, they will be executed. So, that they still erect the noose in the alley, and then in the street, in the name of safety, and invite people to watch how a human being is dying, hoping that this would shake the foundation of the regime. But they don't know that their false power bubble will disappear in front of the freedom fighters and those disadvantaged people. They killed Rouhani, a beautiful and good-hearted girl who, as many prisoners and even prison guards witnessed, was a hope and a teacher for the defenseless Iranian women. They killed her in order to kill hope, forgiveness, generosity, and kindness. They didn't know that Rouhani is a seed planted in the soil in Iran. They killed one Rouhani, and 1,000 Rouhanis grew as a result. They convicted Atne Daimi for the guilt of opposing Rouhani's executions, but she stood taller. As a lot of women who oppose their lost rights, the movement against execution has gone to the streets and the alleyways. Now, in the third anniversary of my daughter's execution, I cry out loudly, my soul, the dear of my heart, my heart's Quebla, my Rahan, in spite of the overwhelming grief and pain and the mourning of your noose, with all of my power, I take justice and litigation for your blood that was shed in an unjust way. I will never stop or retreat from the way that you have showed me. As I promised you, my hands are your hands, my legs are your legs, my eyes are your eyes, and my throat, my voice will be your voice. Even in one day, like your voice, beauty sleeping in the soil, it will be pressed. You forgave torturers and judges and murderers in this world and delayed getting your rights and justice in God's court in the coming world, but I will never forgive the wrongdoers and the ruthless people who oppressed you as much as they could, obviously or secretly, by interrogation or making false files, by signing or confirming the death sentence, by erecting the noose or by pushing the lever that stopped your breath. I want them to be tried and punished in this world too, in addition to the divine court in the hereafter, so that no other mother witnesses her child's execution anymore. Now I repeat, like I did before, that soul and your life was mingled with my soul, and my life and my being is dependent on seeking justice for you. It has been over 1,000 days that I pass every moment of my life remembering you and your memory. And the next 1,000 years, every iota and dust of my being, I will cry out for your name. I will witness that you achieved victory in this battle with a regime that supports rapists. Your 7-year battle with the intelligence agents, the rapist supporters, reached its peak under the noose at dawn on October 25th, 2014. You stood with cuffed hands in Raji Shahar prison, looked into the eyes of your murderers without any doubt about their cruelty. You shouted by your big shiny eyes, "You can take my body, but you will never be able to pollute my being with disgrace, compromise, and submission." The title rapist will always remain on the foreheads of Sarbandi and his supporters. You went, and the path remained. The path that you showed me, oh, the everlasting companion of my moments. And now I announce with honor and pride that Foundation Rayhan has been registered in Europe. Foundation Rayhan, for supporting those sentenced to death and the families of executed ones and prisoners and victims of rape in Iran. I am certain that Foundation Rayhan will spread in other countries too, with the support of kind people and organizations and the activists of women's movements against executions. I hope Rahane's spirit will be satisfied with this sad but petitioning soldier. Love, your mom. This is the voice of Shole Pakravan, Rahane's mother, a relentless champion for human rights who will never be silent, who will bring justice for her daughter and all women like her with every ounce of her being. And Shole, I want to dedicate this special song to your grieving heart today. And I want you to think about Shole. And those who are listening, please pray for her broken heart on this horrible day. This is a song of hope and healing for Shole. song of worship and healing, dedicated to the heart of Sholay Pakravan and her beautiful family on this, the third anniversary of Rahane Jabari's unjust execution in Tehran for defending herself against a government rapist. Rahane's prison letters became her voice on the internet, where she unveiled and exposed to the world the cruelty and the dictatorship of this government for anyone who would doubt that they were like that. There was one particular prison letter that was never translated and published to the internet world. And yet, this was a letter that Sholay shared with me. I couldn't believe this letter. It was shocking. It was supernatural. But it happened. And it happened just 3 years before Rahane's execution while she was in prison. She had an angelic visitation. That's what everyone says when they read this letter. That God in his mercy heard Rahane's cries and certainly felt her pain as God understands pain. And he gave Rahane hope while she was in prison suffering in a most dramatic way. When I read this letter, I was immediately just completely shaken. I can't describe the feelings, but I was just shaken that this letter, which should have gotten out, was saved for me to write this book. I want you to hear from page 199 or 191 in Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. This is the story of an angelic visitation to Rahane. The other women in her cell were now sound asleep. It had been lights out for 10 minutes now. It was 10:15 p.m., but Rahane was still wide awake. She couldn't sleep. Her mind was filled with tormenting, racing thoughts. She quickly grabbed her book she had borrowed from the library. It was by the author Al-Jazeera. It was entitled Anti-Memories, the story of the formation of Singapore. Rahane hoped it would be meticulous and boring reading, just enough detail to relax her mind and cause her to drift off to sleep. She could feel her body begin to relax, her eyelids becoming heavy. Suddenly, a young girl stood next to her bunk bed. Her bright appearance startled Rahane. At first, she thought it was one of her cellmates sleepwalking. But the face of the young girl was completely unknown to her. Rahane had never seen this girl before. The book fell out of her hands, and immediately, the girl began speaking to her. The young girl began to speak about Jesus as if she personally knew him. She spoke about his love and compassion and explained that he had died on the cross to forgive all of her sins. Rahane was shocked. She sat up, interrupting the young girl. "Don't you know that you can't roam the corridors after lights out?" The young girl smiled warmly at Rahane. "I'm a newcomer. I am not aware of the rules and regulations, Rahane." A cold chill shot through Rahane's body. "How did you know my name?" The young girl's face glowed once again with a warm and compassionate smile. "I have heard stories about you," she answered. Rahane began to laugh and then covered her mouth, careful not to wake up her cellmates. The young girl looked intently into Rahane's eyes. "You must read books, but not every type of book." Then the young girl gently touched Rahane's hand with hers. Rahane opened up her hand. She carefully placed something shiny in it, and then, like a flash of lightning, disappeared from her cell. Rahane shrieked and fell back on her bunk bed. Her hand was trembling in fear. Slowly, she opened it up and gazed down at her sweaty palm. Lying in the center of her palm was a small metal cross. Rahane was astonished. She frantically looked around her cell. The young girl had mysteriously vanished. Rahane trembled with fear. Beads of sweat rolled down her cheeks. She nervously stuffed the cross underneath her pillow and collapsed underneath the sheets. Rahane slowly opened up her eyes and took a deep breath. For the first time in weeks, she felt refreshed, as if a heavy weight had been lifted off of her. She felt alive again. Last night had been the best night's sleep she had experienced in a very long time. Even before she could sit up on her bunk bed, the images of the Christian girl flashed across her mind. Had it been just a dream? Did she really see her? Then Rahane remembered. She pushed her hand underneath the pillow and felt something. Anxious to see what it was, she grabbed it and opened up the palm of her hand. Rahane's eyes grew wide with astonishment. It was the metal cross. It hadn't been a dream. It had been a real experience. Why me? Why this cross? The questions raced through Rahane's mind. I must find this girl, Rahane vowed with a determined tone in her voice. Once more, she gazed down at the metal cross in the palm of her hand. Suddenly, she was immersed with feelings of tranquility and peace. The dark clouds of despair seemed to melt away. In that very moment, Rahane felt cleansed. She felt whole again. The feelings of brokenness were gone as she gazed at the tiny metal cross in her hand. What does it all mean? Rahane pondered within herself. Why did this Christian girl visit me? The brokenness and despair that had tormented her soul seemed to fade away the more she gazed at the cross. Rahane felt healed for the first time since her captivity in prison. This morning she had a mission to find the Christian girl and to thank her. There's more to this story in my book. Rahane went on to obtain a copy of the Bible and read the Bible three times through. This is a turning point in Rahane's life. She had never been a religious person until that moment. And through the reading of the Bible, she had a presence and a sense of God that she had never felt before. She felt a burning freedom and a fresh vision of hope after reading the Bible. And Rahane said in her letter, "It's a miracle. I now have hope once again. I now believe in a God who loves us, a God who loves us and will never leave us." You see, the Bible had given her the power and grace to forgive those who had physically and emotionally tortured her. Forgiveness had cleansed Rahane's soul. The black clouds, the chains of despair had been broken by the reading of God's word. She felt like a new person, a butterfly that had emerged from its cocoon. In the midst of death and captivity, Rahane had been born again into a living hope that would never fade away. This experience in one of her prison letters that has never been translated from Farsi to English and printed out on the internet became available to me. I treasure this letter. It is the result of many, many prayers for her salvation, for her freedom. And in the end, and even though she was hanged, Rahane found hope and freedom in her God and in her Savior Jesus. And even though she may have never publicly said that, obviously she can't while she was in prison there, in her heart, Jesus had become a flower of life and fragrance to her, a living hope for her. Her life would never be the same. She could forgive just as Jesus forgave his executioners. Rahane was able to also forgive her executioners before they laid the noose around her neck. This is why she's a beautiful fragrance to me. This is why she's a beautiful fragrance to the entire world. And this is why I wrote her book, I want you to hear a very powerful but painful interview that Lisa Daftari of Fox News had with Sholay Pakravan just 4 days after her execution. I want you to hear it right now on our special tribute.
The Iranian government executed 26-year-old Rehana Jabari over the weekend. Rehana was hanged for what authorities call premeditated murder, but what she and her family maintained was self-defense against the man who allegedly tried to rape her. After already serving 7 years in prison, her case garnered much international outcry, many believing there was foul play. Fox News did an exclusive interview with Sholay Pakravan, Rehana's mother, just a few weeks ago, who urged her daughter's supporters to speak out in an attempt to save her life. She now joins us only 48 hours after her daughter's execution. What was the last conversation you had with your daughter? What was her state of mind?
I went to see Rehana on Friday. It was with my husband, my other daughters, my parents, and my sister. Rehana comforted us, but she knew this was the end. She said there has been increased crackdowns and pressure on all the prisoners. She told us not to mourn her, not to be upset. It's so difficult, but I'm really trying to hold it together and to honor my daughter's wishes.
Had authorities given your daughter any warning? What had they told her?
They told her she had to go in front of his family to be pardoned and forgiven by them. They told her she had to confess that there was no intention of rape, and then maybe they would excuse you from execution. Then they brought in cameras into the room where sentences are carried out. And they kept pressuring her to confess that Zarbandi was not trying to rape her. And Rehana refused.
And you also went to the family to ask them to forgive your daughter, right?
We went to their family many times, begging them to forgive Rehana, but they didn't accept. But unfortunately, the day her execution was carried out, there were so many corrupt people there that they helped the Zarbandi family exit through a back door. Others tried to stop them, to ask them to forgive Rehana, to ask them to drop the charges, but they did it in a way so that we did not run into the family. We didn't have a chance to see them again.
As difficult as it is, take us through the day of the execution, how you were notified, how the family was told that your daughter was killed.
On Friday, when we saw Rehana for the last time, they never told us which prison she would be taken to. We spent the entire night going from one prison to the next, till morning. We were shivering in the cold, both from the cold and from our nervousness. But I tell you, we still had hope. We had hoped that Zarbandi's son, Jalal, would finally admit the truth and to pardon my daughter, or at least we were hoping the sentence would be postponed again. It was 7 a.m., and I was sitting in the car because I was so cold. And two of the women came to the car, and as they opened the door, they were crying. In that moment, my entire brain froze. I became paralyzed. Moments later, I just began screaming. I couldn't believe it. They killed my Rehana.
What did the authorities say to you at that point? Did they say anything to you or the family?
Absolutely nothing.
Rehana had so many supporters and advocates around the world. What's your message to those people?
I need your help. I am asking all the countries in the world who defend human rights and women's rights to investigate Rehana's case in international court. Maybe other courts can prove my daughter's innocence. The government's message to the women of Iran was that you cannot defend yourself in the face of rape or violence, or else you'll be executed.
Now I want to talk about the funeral. Were the proper dignities given to your daughter? Were you allowed to bury her in the way that you wanted?
In Iran, we have a custom of preparing the body in a certain way before the funeral. They had secretly done all of this without us. There was heavy security presence there. My husband and I, the rest of the family, we were told by security that we weren't allowed to touch or to get too close. They wanted to carry out the entire burial without us. We pushed our way to the front and begged them to allow us to participate in my daughter's burial. Of course, they didn't listen, and even the burial, our last chance to say goodbye, wasn't in our own hands. Right now in Iran, all of the media is reporting that this man did not intend to rape Rehana and that Rehana had every intention to murder him. I have no way of getting through to any courts here in Iran. In the same way that they killed my daughter, they will continue doing this to young people. They brainwash the people of Iran. They corrupt people's minds.
And I know Rehana left behind a very detailed will. How did she want to be remembered?
Today I cried so much. I was looking at pictures of Rehana. There is such a deep, deep pain in my heart. My beautiful daughter, she was beautiful in every way, a beautiful face, a kind heart. They killed her. What more can I say? She also told me that she believes in an afterlife. She told me not to worry, because in the next world, she would seek justice for the injustice she endured. From the judge, from the officials, from Sarbandi himself. Those who tortured me in prison and did not spare me from my pain. My daughter forgave everyone that did this to her. She reminded me to forgive so you can grow, so that your heart can be at peace. Rehana had already forgiven all those who had tortured her. She said she would try to prove her innocence to them in the world to come, but in this lifetime, she had already forgiven them.
I thank you for speaking with us so shortly after receiving this awful news, and I wish you and your family comfort at this difficult time. Thank you for joining us.
Lisa Daftari interviewing Sholeh Pakravan via a translator on Skype 48 hours after the execution. I want to read a couple of more reflections on Rehani from my book. From those who were touched by her life and her example. This one is from Hana, my friend. She says, "Rest in peace, Rehani. You are forever loved, forever remembered, and your bravery through torture and death will forever inspire. What your tormentors hope to accomplish by so cruelly taking you from us was to no avail, because they cannot take you from our hearts." Nazarin from the United Kingdom writes, "Rehani was a brave woman. She defended herself in a society where there is no law and order. The women and religious minorities are second-class citizens. Many people all over the world tried to save her, but the barbaric fundamentalist regime executed her. I know she will never be forgotten, and in the future, women in a free Iran will pay tribute to her in their daily lives by having rights, freedom, and democracy. She is a hero. And finally, Miriam writes, living in Esfahan, Rahan, my dearest, you were an angel from God, but we weren't good trustees. We let this hateful regime cut your wings. Death picked you off, and we only watched it. Rehan, death wasn't the end of your life. You are immortalized. My beautiful Rehan, I'm sure you are happy and in complete relief now. The difficulties of this life continue for us, but you sleep well in God's arms. Rehani had an incredible supernatural encounter with an angel of God in prison. And as a result, she read the Bible. She forgave her interrogators and her executioners. And because of that, she is safe at home in the arms of Jesus. And what looked like a tragic, tragic defeat was indeed a victory. I want you to hear this song from DeGarmo the Key called Destined to Win. This sums up the victory, in spite of death and tragedy, that Rahane won by trusting in Christ. Let's listen. Great truth and comfort that this is not the end. God has the final word. Jesus has the final word. We are victorious in him. Rahane was victorious in him. She could stand and face her interrogators who tried to change her story, to try to say, oh, he didn't try to rape me. And she could say, I will not lie. She stood for God's truth. And as an example of Jesus, she was able to forgive those who tried to change her story, her interrogators, and even her executioners. This is exactly what Jesus did from the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I want to thank Tim, Ava, Vito, and every one of you in the chat room today for this support on this very, very special program. Rahane's voice will never be silenced. And God has given her a unique symbol, a unique fragrance, beaming hope and truth all over the world. And so on this third anniversary of her execution, she is like a seed planted in the soil that had to die to bring forth life, that had to die to bring forth truth and healing. And there are thousands of Rahanes all over the world, just like the Rahane that died 3 years ago, that will never stop speaking out against the injustice of Iran. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. God bless every one of you today. May Rahane's voice and truth continue to beam out all over the world. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert.